And right now it's time to say a very good morning to Peter Allam, talking legal matters. Peter, very good morning on this Monday morning.
Fine, a very good morning to everybody. What great weather we had over the weekend again.
Indeed.
And it's so lovely to see all the different places along our little east coast there with breakfasts and things like that. You've got Teen the Trees, you've got that new one at Glen Eden, you've got Lynn. All of them, they're all pretty full because of the fact that the weather's so good, which is great.
And
brings an income to us and keeps the coast busy.
It does. And, sort of looking at the weather over the past number of months, where the weekends just seem to have fallen apart. But, we had all the planets lining up this last weekend, and it was absolutely superb.
Absolutely. Anyway, to get on to today, we're going to chat a little bit about property inheritance and the different situations with it. So let's remember at the outset that an inheritance is when you pass on your private property, your titles, your obligations, rights, debts, in other words, whatever you owned whilst living, upon death to whoever you want to pass it on to. That's so important to remember. You know, it's not automatic that it must go to the wife, must go to the kids. You know, I've had instances where people have donated and let their inheritance go to the SPCA and places like that.
Yes, not
the best in the sense that you need to seriously consider, you know, your family and what they've done for you and how they've looked after you. But you have the right to pass it on to any person. You're not restricted in any way. Obviously, there are some rules and regulations, that come into effect. A person married in community of property cannot give his or her entire estate away. The wife will stay in there. Children that require maintenance are entitled to put claims in and things like that.
Right.
But the three main laws in that regard in South Africa are the Administration of Estates Act, the Wills Act, and the Intestate Succession Act. Okay. So the Administration of Estates Act is one that tells you how you dispose of the regulations relating to the disposal of the deceased estate. The Wills Act affects all people where there is a will. You know, they're very strict in that regard to make sure that it's signed correctly, make sure that it was done by the party concerned, make sure that the witnesses are not part of the will and things like that. And then, of course, the Intestate Succession Act is where people have not made out a will before they died. And then that governs the distribution of the entire estate to the deceased party where there's no will. Okay. In other words, you know, in that line, it goes across to the wife and to the children. If there's no wife and no children, it goes to brothers and sisters, or goes first up to parents, shall I say, and then down.
Okay.
So, you know, your normal inheritance basically is children, descendants, or other close relatives. You know, spouses are not always considered to be heirs. Instead, they're entitled to virtual, shall I say, to properties as a result of the marriage and the common law, community of property laws and things like that. But it's a terrible thing not to include that person in your will. So anybody drafting a will should have the decency to recommend to you, unless there's a huge problem in the marriage, unless you're divorced, you know, to make sure that the requirements are there and that the planning is correct. So if I've got fixed property, let's say I've got a home, what do I do with it upon my death? Well, there are a couple of ways. You can either give it to the beneficiaries. They can elect whether they want it or not. If they want it, you pass your property on to the group of them or to an individual, your spouse maybe, alone. You can specify that the title deed be transferred directly into their name. In other words, you can say, I bequeath my house to so-and-so situated at 6 whatever street it is. This can also be done for multiple beneficiaries. So you can say, my fixed property, I give to my wife and 3 children, and you name the 3 children or whatever it is. So that's a direct transfer to a beneficiary. Do they have to take transfer? No, they have a right to elect and say, okay, We do not want to take transfer. The memories are too bad. We want to move on and move somewhere else. We're going to sell it and then distribute the profits, which is no problem at all. So, you know, the deceased property is then sold and the profits are distributed to the heirs in terms of the will that there is in place. A lot of people as well these days are recommended to put property into a trust before their death. You need to have a serious think about a trust and putting property into it. It's not, a lot of accountants enjoy that, but it's not, in my view, the ideal answer, because if the people don't want the home, it makes it difficult. However, you know, a lot of people these days put it into a trust because the kids are young and the wife is there and can get a fixed monthly income from it. So it has its advantages, don't get me wrong. You know, trust does not form part of your estate. So if you put it into a trust before, and that's a completely separate entity, and you nominate your heirs as beneficiaries so they don't lose out, and they can enjoy the benefits of it. You know, the rental income, you know, they don't have to worry about dealing with sales, transfers, estate duty, capital gains, and the like from the home that you awarded to them in terms of your will. So it's quite a nice way of doing it as well. So when I say think carefully, make sure that you're happy with that. Pros of property inheritance, you know, it's a future wealth. You know, renting out the house will provide a nice income. If I inherit from my wife the house that she owns, I'm going to have a nice income if it's fully paid for. But don't forget that, you know, there may well be an outstanding bond. There's going to be your water and lights, your rates, your taxes, and all the rest of it on that property. So don't think that you inherit property, you get a rent of 15,000, and that's all yours. And the most important thing that I've left for last is the maintenance there. You know, you might need renovations, might need monthly maintenance and things like that. The condition of it is very important as well. So you must make sure that you have a proper look at what you are inheriting and make sure that you are happy with what is going to come in. Also, don't forget that the income that you get is not tax-free. So if you get additional tax deductions, can be applied to the property, but there is tax payable on it as well at the end of the day. You know, it will form part of your income. So be careful there. Make sure that you find out what the story is and sort it out correctly. If we look at the next sort of topic there, is what happens if I don't leave a will and specify what must happen to my property? You know, the basic rules then is that, let's say an example that you've got a wife and no kids, the wife would inherit the whole property. If there's a wife and kids, then, you know, the children together with the wife will inherit. The wife will get a 50% share if you're married in community of property. If you're married out of community, she'll just share with however many children there are. So if there's a wife and three children out of community by four, in community of property, she gets 50%, and then she shares with the three children quarter of the balance of the 50%. So, you know, it's also very interesting. A lot of people just deem it so that inheritance of, you know, intestate succession, where you married a wife and you've got three or four kids that they're going to inherit. They don't inherit. They don't fall into that. They're not his own children. So, you know, the children must be those that he has adopted or those of his own to be able to inherit in an intestate estate. Should any child have predeceased the parent, perhaps, and have children of his own, it will go to the children's children, where you survive by a child that has died and left nobody, that just falls away because it goes back to the other children in the group. Where the child is under the age of 18, it's been reduced to 18 these days, the child is entitled to maintenance. So out of the home, you can put a claim in. The child can put a claim in, or the mother can put a claim in against the estate. for maintenance for the child as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mainly done where you've got a will that gives a home to someone, let's put it that way. For example, often you get a father that gives to the eldest son the home and that type of thing. So if there's still minors there, there's always a chance that the surviving children will have the right to claim maintenance.
Right,
They reach the age of 18, yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah. You know, whether the deceased is survived by a spouse and inherits the greater of either child's portion, the Minister of Justice has set that at a fixed price of $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
They then inherit a minimum, in other words. So if a house is only worth $400,000 or something, the spouse will be able to inherit up to a maximum of $250,000 and then, of course, share in the rest as well.
Balance out.
Yeah. So, you know, the spouse is well looked after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say inheriting is what people wait for at the end of the day. You know, you sadly so, because you shouldn't, you know, be waiting in the background for your parents or your siblings or someone to pass away so that you can create a wealth of your own.
Mm-hmm.
That wealth creation is not the nicest thing. But you'll be surprised how many people think that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're surprised how many people are disappointed. Somebody dies and the first thing they want to know is, where's the will? Let's read the will. What has been left to me?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you say, oh, sorry, your dad hasn't left anything to you. It's left it to his new wife or something like that. And, all hell breaks out.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, and of course, the other thing that I always hate is that, you know, often a person has a fight with a sibling or a wife or something like that, and then they change that will. I mean, I think I've seen it on about three or four occasions where they've excluded a child, and then the father has become terminally ill, and who has looked after the father? That child.
That same child. Yes.
That same child, and he's excluded that child. I mean, I had one horrible one where the guy was extremely wealthy, and he had a fight with the child and excluded her about 10, 15 years ago, and then made up with her 5 years later, but never, ever
changed.
Followed up and fixed his will.
My goodness.
And the other sister just said, tough luck, Dad wanted me to inherit the money, nothing for you.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some nice ones as well where the children have come together and said, we're not going to exclude our brother or our sister, that's certainly part of us, and they share it with that child as well, you know, which is a very nice, well, not a nice gesture, but a very nice way of being it. So basically, that's what you've got with what we're talking about today. You know, it's there. Think carefully with your estate. Think carefully of the position when you allow someone to inherit. Make sure you don't hurt anybody.
Oh.
It's very, very important that. So those are the basics there. You know, the transfer process is quite easy and simple, as we mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
If the deceased estate has property in it and the parties wish to sell it, you've got to wait for the appointment of the executor from the master. Once that comes, the executor can sign the papers. They go back to the master. The master will insist before transfer on having a look at the L&D account and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to be done there with property. It's not a case of dad died today. You know, the children are going to get paid out at the end of the month.
Yes.
Takes a little while to get the documents back from the master, because on carte blanche, the problems that everybody's having with the master's offices. Mm-hmm. When it comes back, you've got bonds to cancel, your first cancellation figures, make sure the rates are up to date. Levy clearance figures if you're in a gated area, all sorts of things like that. The documents are eventually drafted by the attorney conveyancer and then proceeded with the various steps and guarantees received and all the rest of it. So it's like any other transfer, save that the master has to vet it and confirm that they are satisfied with the sale and that they give permission for it to be proceeded with.
Right.
You know, and if you look at it, people say, but why does it take so long? Well, the problem at the moment is that the master's office is a little bit behind. And we're not getting, in the old days, you could submit and have it back within a week or so. You could go up there yourself, go see the master and get it sorted. That's not happening anymore, unfortunately. As I say, it was on carte blanche a couple of weeks ago where they showed the problems with all of the master's offices throughout South Africa. So, yeah, that's basically what we have today, man.
Just a question or a comment on the will, and talking in particular about the transfer of properties or the fact that, you know, we're looking at inheriting properties in this case. Would it be wise to, well, I suppose, you know, wills get drawn up in all kinds of ways and lots of thinking processes happen, but to make sure that you don't leave your family with a hot potato in terms of maybe properties or something like that. You know, I can just imagine, I'm just thinking hypothetically, inheriting a run-down warehouse in the dingiest, darkest part of town that nobody wants. You can't let it out, you can't sell it, you can't do anything with it. And you ended up inheriting something like this. So I would guess that, you know, careful thought should go into writing the will and who should get what in terms of the property portfolio, if there is such a thing in the person's portfolio. That you don't...
You know, one has to be... Yeah, sorry, Wayne. Yeah, carry on.
I was just going to say, so that you don't end up leaving your wife or your children with this sort of hot potato that they can't do anything with, or it becomes a burden to them.
That's correct. You've got to be very careful then. People have got to make that decision as well when they're inheriting. You've got to make sure that it's not in the best interest of everybody to sell that property immediately. Mm. You know, you get a lot of properties that were in prime areas maybe 5 to 10 years ago.
Right.
And those areas have now all crashed. And there's no value in them anymore. So, you know, don't be excited to get an inheritance and think that you're going to make the most of it when you're in an area where it's not possible to do that. So
yes.
In circumstances like that, rather get rid of the burden as soon as you can. You know, take the loss now. Don't hold on to it. It's going to cost you in rates, going to cost you in water, taxes, maintenance, and that type of thing.
Okay.
So you need to be very careful. I mean, there are a lot of factories and that in our local area where you find that they've been condemned because the area is no longer popular and people can't maintain them and they can't find tenants. You know, those are all things that play a factor.
So at the end of the day, property inheritance, you know, you've got to treat it very, very carefully. And once again, I would guess, chat to your accountant, chat to your lawyer, your attorney, and get advice from all of them in the process.
Absolutely. Of vital importance, that I have no doubt about that.
Right.
You know, you must have a proper look at it. Don't just say, oh, I've inherited something, let me go ahead and, you know,
And sort of make it work, but meanwhile
it might
not work out in the end. But Peter, on that score of getting advice from the right people, if somebody wants to contact Alam's attorneys, how do they go about it?
They can get us at 6 Sansom Road in Vincent, telephone 043-7211-018. I repeat, 043-7211-018. Or if they just like us on Facebook, add an S onto our surname, Allams. Like us on Facebook and join the group and you can see our weekly chats and everything on there.
Great. And talking about the weekly chats, of course, we will be popping this chat on our website, wildcoastradio.co.za, later on today and sharing it on all the social media platforms. Peter, thanks very, very much. Have a great week and looking forward to chatting again next week.
Thank you, Wayne.
Cheers.
All the best for the week as well.
Thank you very, very much to you. And that's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle Chats. Of course, the chats will be available on our website, Wild Coast Radio, under podcasts and on Allam's Facebook page later on today. Do pop into that if you missed details of today's chat. And thanks to Peter.